I'm more of a, I like to do more of a Sunday school lesson or a lesson and then a message perhaps, but so that means that there'll be a point in which I'll ask for a response like I do in Sunday school. So there'll be some questions. The curriculum that I have for the day is the Day of the Christian Martyr. And I think it's really good for us to be aware of what our brothers and sisters face. And so our illustration today is a grain of wheat. This is actual this year's wheat I just picked last night from my landlord's wheat field. I asked for permission. And each one of these, as we know, can produce, each little seed can produce a stalk of wheat that can have much, I don't know how many, but many more grains of wheat. And this is how the gospel is spread. But we also know from the scripture that was read in John that unless the grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. So this will never be more than what it is if it just stays this way. But each seed of grain can produce many more. And Jesus used this illustration. What did he mean by this? When Jesus entered Jerusalem to the cries of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, that was in John 12:13. Following this triumphal entry, Jesus was the talk of the town. Some Greeks approached Philip and requested a meeting with Jesus. These Greeks were curious. Perhaps they were witnessing the beginning of a new king's coronation. Maybe they had heard the miracle worker from Galilee and they were seeking spiritual answers. John never tells us whether Jesus met with them. He doesn't allow us to know with certainty if the words Jesus spoke in John 12:24 and 26 were a public discourse to a crowd that may have included the curious Greeks or only to the disciples. Whomever the audience was, the message was clear. To truly know Jesus, one must die to self. Theologian J.C. Rao writes, this sentence was primarily meant to teach the wondering Greeks the true nature of Messiah's kingdom. Our Lord would have known that they came to carry a cross, not wear a crown. He came not to live a life of honor, ease, and magnificence, but to die a shameful and dishonored death. The kingdom he came to set up to begin with, a crucifixion, not a coronation. The glory would take its rise not from victories won by the sword and from accumulated treasures of gold and silver, but from the death of its king. This is so contrary to how we would think of a king. Not a coronation, but a crucifixion. This kingdom that biblical disciples embrace is one that requires us to imitate Christ in both life and death. So just as Jesus was the seed planted, died, when that seed goes into the ground, it has the wheat germ It has the knowledge that it will grow up and become a stalk of wheat. It also has some starch. Of course, we make bread out of it. It has energy for that seed to thrive on until it grows out roots and starts taking nutrition from the ground until it grows out, and the leaves take in nutrition from the sun. But it has to give, it has to be, this seed has to be destroyed. It has to give up what it is in order for that to happen. The early church grew so quickly from the death of the ones that proclaimed the message. The apostles all are recorded as having died, except for it's thought that John might have died of old age on the Isle of Patmos, where he was exiled. All the rest of the apostles were martyred for their faith. But the harvest, it brings forth an abundance harvest. Heads of grain, each one represents a life that's born out of that death. And still today, martyrs die and pay the price for the spread of the gospel. The original grain of wheat is Jesus himself, who died for us. We also looked in the other scripture at the soils. That seed, which is Christ, the Word of God, we see in Matthew 13, 1 to 23, Mark 4, 1 to 20, and Luke 8, 4 to 15, that the seed is the Word of God. When Jesus explains the parable, he says the seed is the Word of God, but he is the Word. He, according to John 1, he is the living Word. And so, not everywhere that the Word of God falls, not everyone that hears receives and grows, because it depends on the soil. And there's been many a message spoken about the seed in the soils. There's a seed on the path that the devil takes and takes away and comes to steal, kill, and destroy and devour that seed. There's the seed on rocky soil that's shallow and has no root. There's the seed that's sown among thorns, and the cares of the world press in. They give an illustration here that the gospel seed continues to grow, be sown in fertile India. When Kasavi was visiting her Hindu sister-in-law in the hospital, sharing the gospel and praying with her, another person in the hospital heard her and called the police. Kasavi was arrested under state anti-conversion laws and spent 3 days in jail. While in jail, she said she had no fear or worry. She had the opportunity to minister to a girl who had been in prison for 2 years. Many of the Hindu prisoners and some of the police officers asked her to pray for them, and she was able to share the gospel with the police superintendent, who asked her to pray for him after noticing her character and honesty. Since being released, Kasavi has continued her outreach to women in the jail and to their children. The word continues to go out. Sometimes it falls on good soil and bears fruit. So that grain doesn't stay down in the fertile soil. It grows up out into the air, into the sun, and grows into a stalk of wheat with many kernels. The multiplication that springs forth from germination is one declaring God's miraculous design. Wheat bears wheat. Likewise, the seed of the gospel message bears disciples of Jesus Christ who live out the testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. True disciples always bear other true disciples. The wheat and the disciple do not receive praise and glory for the abundant fruit. Glory is reserved for the God of the harvest. He alone is to be praised and glorified. Okay. Application question for today. What fruit is being born from your life and mine? Is it born because of purposeful action and vibrant witness? Like Thomas, Conde, Kashavi, are we each counting the cost, willing to die to the things of this world and pursue Christ to advance his kingdom? What is the Lord inspiring you to fully surrender to him so that you can live as a more faithful biblical disciple at any cost? On that first Palm Sunday, when our Lord marched into Jerusalem, the crowds acclaimed him. Gentiles came and said, "We wish to see Jesus." But how did they see Jesus? Through his death for our sins. How did they understand him as king? Through his death, how will those around us see Jesus? Only as we die to ourselves and live, may God lead us to a royal life, a life of sacrifice, a life that bears much fruit. I think I'm missing some of my papers. Each one of us is called to be, I can't keep on losing track of these, calling to be a seed. How are we, in our time of convenience in modern society, able to bear the light? It seems to me, it's so easy. I don't want to use the word easy. That's not the right word. It's so, when pushed comes to shove, those who are in those very hard environments that I can't imagine are persecuted, put in prison, beaten. Their light shines so brightly, is what I meant to say. And it's so easy for us to not shine that brightly because we look so much like the culture around us. That woman looked different, that the prison guard asked her to pray because of her character. I guess I don't have any other words to say. What's your guys' reactions? What do you see as a way that we can be a light before it's so dark, like it is in some countries? I guess we should pray for the Lord to show us each, because I get sucked into the news cycle, watching Fox News clips, and that's conservative media, but it's just so much trying to get the culture to look like what I think it should look like, rather than just being like Christ and being different than the culture. Does anybody like me find the stories of the martyrs to be super challenging? What do you think? Too intimidating by being up front instead of sitting back there with you like I do in Sunday school. It's just the same group of people. Could it come here?
Yes, because we're so compliant and comfortable.
It could. Before the end, it may. We're not necessarily immune. We've just lived in about 250 years, well, at least in the founding of this country, you know, of blessing and reprieve from that, but we're not immune. For me, and you guys have children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, we don't know that our kids won't face it. They may. They may face things we can't imagine. Yeah, you can pray for 40, 50 years in the future. You can, because we don't know what they're going to face. Yeah.